Literally, the day I arrived here, I met someone at the airport who invited me to a party. And then I ended up kind of, you know, meeting all these people who were very open about having non-monogamous relationships. And even though I was monogamous at the time, and if you had asked me, I would have said, you know, when you really love someone, you only want to be with that one person, or whatever. I could see that my friends, you know, were, I had a couple of friends, like a couple friend who were dating a woman, and they were going to play parties, and they were, you know, just telling me about their world. And I just found it fascinating. I remember, like, one of the first things that I was like, oh, wow, this is so interesting, is that my friend told me that meeting her partner's partner didn't make her more jealous, but in fact, that it actually helped her feel less jealous. And
welcome back to Dear Polly, a podcast about sexual exploration and polyamory. I'm super excited about this episode. In this episode, we are joined by Fair, the host of Polycurious, a very interesting podcast that covers all different forms of ethical non-monogamy. I invited her on the show because she has a very unique situation that I thought my listeners would absolutely love to hear about. In this episode, she talks about what it's like to be poly while dating someone that is not. This is a unique situation. She has a lot of really beautiful insight, and I feel like I learned a lot from her. I hope that you guys enjoy this episode. If you have a question, a topic, or something you would like us to cover, please feel free to reach out. You can do so on the anonymous website. You can do so on our website through our anonymous web form at dearpolypodcast.com. You can also feel free to reach out on the gram, send us a direct message. If you love our content, please give us a rating on your preferred platform. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Follow us on the gram, like and share, but most importantly, I hope you enjoy. All right. So first, I want to say thank you so much for taking time to come on the podcast. I'm looking forward to getting to know you a little bit and kind of hearing your story.
Yeah, thank you. This is super exciting.
Absolutely. So to get started, if you could just tell my listeners a little bit about you, like who you are.
So my name is Fernanda, Fer for short, and I'm originally from Mexico, but I've kind of lived a little bit around the world. When I was 16, I got a scholarship to go to, it's called a United World College. Some listeners might be familiar or might not. There's like around 15 colleges around the world. There's one in Hong Kong, one in Italy, one in Texas. And I applied for a scholarship and I got the scholarship and they sent me to India. So I actually went to high school in India for 2 years. Which is always like an interesting, unique thing about my background that I'm like super grateful for. And from there, I studied in Amsterdam. I was there for college. I also spent some time in Canada. I did like a semester abroad in Montreal. After that, because I'm half Cuban, I spent some time in Cuba. And then I eventually came to New York to do my master's in journalism at Columbia University. So, yeah, that's a little bit of my background. I studied journalism four or five years ago already. And then now I'm working in podcasting. And I also have, I mean, besides being a podcast producer for my full-time job, I also have a podcast about polyamory called Polycurious, or rather about non-monogamy called Polycurious, which I'm sure we'll dive into. But yeah, that's a snapshot of, you know, who I am and where I come from.
That is incredibly exciting, and I am super jealous. You have been everywhere and so many of the places I want to go.
Yeah, I'm very, very grateful for the life I've had. Obviously, you know, there's other things that come with like moving around every couple of years, like, you know, lack of community and stability and all of that. But yeah, I've definitely gotten to do a lot of things in my life, which, I'm very grateful for.
That's exciting. Very exciting. So since you've already mentioned the poly aspect, which, I mean, of course, you're on my podcast, so it had to be either sex or non-monogamous relationships, because that's basically what I cover. Tell me a little bit about how you got into ethical non-monogamy.
Yeah, of course. So when I first came to New York, I was actually in a relationship with a Cuban boyfriend who came to live with me, and we like broke up shortly after. But even while I was in that relationship, I met some people in the non-monogamous community in New York through the Burning Man community. So literally the day I arrived here, I met someone at the airport who invited me to a party. And then I ended up kind of, you know, meeting all these people who were very open about having non-monogamous relationships. And even though I was monogamous at the time, and if you had asked me, I would have said, you know, when you really love someone, you only want to be with that one person, or whatever, I could see that my friends, you know, were, I had a couple of friends, like a couple friend who were dating a woman, and they were going to play parties, and they were, you know, just telling me about their world. And I just found it fascinating. I remember like one of the first things that I was like, oh, wow, this is so interesting, is that my friend told me that meeting her partner's partner didn't make her more jealous, but in fact, that it actually helped her feel less jealous. And I was like, oh, wow, this is like so counterintuitive. Like, this is so interesting. And, you know, the journalist in me just kind of became fascinated by the subject. Eventually, when I did break up with my boyfriend, which, you know, it wasn't because of the non-monogamy aspect, because I wasn't unfaithful to him, but it was in this spirit of just being more free and kind of exploring my sexuality and exploring what else was out there. I mean, I was pretty young at this point. I was in my early 20s. I mean, I'm still in my 20s, but still, this was like 6 years ago or 7 years ago or something. And it feels like, I'm a totally different person with a lot more experience. So I just kind of, you know, did solo poly for a long time, just sometimes going to play parties, sometimes just hanging out with people in the poly community. My best friend is also very much in that community. But I was always single. Like I would date around, but I didn't feel like I wanted to commit to anyone in particular until I met my partner. His name is Seth, and we actually met at Burning Man the first year that I went, which was 2018. And we met kind of like at the end tail of it, like on Friday, out of like the week-long festival, which is like or festival or whatever you want to call it, like city, formation of a city. It's from Monday to Sunday. So we met like Friday night. So just the last 2 days, he lived in San Francisco at the time. I lived in New York. You know, straight up, like the second conversation or the second night that we were out, we had a conversation about kind of you know, really deep conversation about what we wanted. And we touched on like some, you know, stuff with our sexuality. And I was just very honest. And I was like, listen, I've been kind of exploring this world. And I feel like that's what I'm, that what I want to do. You know, I didn't say it like this then, but I was basically polycurious, which is where the name of the podcast comes from. Like curious about what it would be like to have a polyamorous relationship. Yeah. And he said he was open to the idea, but he eventually told me that he didn't want that for himself, that that was something that, you know, he could work with me if that's something that I wanted, but that he found he had no interest in it, which, you know, it's very unusual. And actually, in one of the episodes of my podcast, for anyone who's interested in hearing that part of the story of a non-monogamous woman with a monogamous man, which is rare, I interview him on episode 12 of my podcast. But basically, his decision has to do, I believe, also with his background and his personality. So he's also from the Midwest. He's from a small town in Nebraska. His dad is a pastor. So basically he grew up, you know, thinking that he was going to wait until marriage to have sex. And he was homeschooled. So he's an introvert. So for him, the idea of, you know, dating or spending his time and energy on like, you know, chasing women is not as appealing as staying home and watching TV and playing video games or just chilling. Like for him, you know, it's not like he doesn't want it. He just feels like, you know, putting that effort as someone who's like an introvert and someone who is very content with the type of sex that we have, it just didn't make sense for him. Still, you know, he's like recently expressed that there's like someone that he's attracted to. Once he like kissed a woman, but this was also like a woman that I part of a couple that I was kind of seeing. So everything has been very you know, like his engagement has been very little, but basically the way we, yeah,
may go ask for how it, long, I, that's all right. May I ask how long you two have been together now? Wait, you said 2018.
Right. So we're going to come up on our 4th year anniversary in a week.
Happy anniversary.
In 2 weeks. Thank you. We're going to be at Burning Man again. So we'll that's be exciting. Celebrating in that way. Yeah. Yeah. No. And, you know, we're really lucky. Like I always say that non-monogamy doesn't work for everyone, but it just happens to be that it just like really works well for us. And it doesn't mean that it has been all easy. In fact, like when we were first, you know, when we first became official, there was a period in which we were monogamous for probably like a year and a half or something. But the idea was always, okay, we're going to get to open up and we're going to get to that point where we both feel comfortable. But I need, like Seth told me from the beginning, like I need to go in stages. So first, you know, all I feel comfortable with is for you to go to play parties. And that's all I could do for a while. And then once that became a little less threatening, then it was like, okay, you can actually date other people, but only once a month. And then once that became a little bit threatening, then, you know, I've only recently like started seeing someone who I engage more than like once a week with, but like my engagements have been more casual than full on relationships, which has also been a process for me to realize that that's the type of non-monogamy that has worked for me so far, but I'm still polycurious. I'm still curious about what, you know, a polyamorous arrangement would be like. Doesn't mean that that's what I'm seeking. In fact, you know, the more I explore, the more I realize that other relationships take energy from you. And the more I want to keep that energy for myself, but I still very much want to have that freedom to connect in whatever way with other people, to go on fun dates, to have experiences outside of my own. So yeah, that kind of paints a picture of our relationship, basically.
Who was it that came up with the idea to do the steps, if you don't mind me asking?
It was
or the
him.
Phases, that's, the phases, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, step phases, however you want to call it. It's him. Again, like, we are lucky, but also I'm really lucky. Like, it's really rare to find a man that not only is open to this type of arrangement, but also has the emotional maturity to understand that, you know, he can do it and this is what he needs and to ask for it. So he was the one who was like, okay, let's do this and let me get used to it. And then we'll move to a next step. And, you know, like, something that I'm always just amazed by is the fact that even though I did put him in like uncomfortable situations, I agreed uncomfortable situations, but, you know, he would tell me like, okay, well, now you can go and do that. Like, I would ask, like, can I do this? And he'd be like, okay, you can do that. It does, you know, make me a little uncomfortable, but like, I feel secure enough that you can do that. And then, you know, I would go on the date or whatever, and I would come back. And even though I know that he was having a difficult time sitting at home or whatever, which is not the case at all at this point, because things have changed a lot. And again, I think that we're an example of how much people can change and how much people can adapt to this type of relationship. Not everyone, but he was able to. He would never like make me feel wrong for it. He would never lash out at me or like, you know, let his jealousy affect us. In fact, like, when he realized that he was being a little bit like resentful when I came back from a date or something like that, he would say, you know, it's not your fault or anything, but when you come back from a date, I just feel a little weird. So I just like need a little bit of time. Cause I would like, you know, I would come back from a date, and this is another interesting fact about non-monogamy, that instead of like being less into my partner, I would be more into my partner. Like, either because I would like compare it with other people that I'm with, and I'd be like, oh, he's so awesome. And like, it would just like make me appreciate him in other ways. Or because, you know, I just had like a good sexual experience, so like my hormones are like, you know, a little bit of all over the place, and I'm just like wanting to connect with Seth. And he would be like, it's a little weird that you just came back from a date and now you want to like have sex with me or kiss me or whatever. Like, I need space, you know. But again, he would like ask for that as opposed to just, you know, mistreat me because he was jealous or anything like that. So the podcast is also part of me trying to like show people that it's possible to have certain types of arrangement, not necessarily the same one we have, because again, it's very unique. But you know, that it's possible to get to a comfortable place by having those conversations openly.
Absolutely. I am so impressed with your partner. Like, I am incredibly impressed with his emotional intelligence. That's impressive, especially coming from a pastor's child. Like, that's enormous. The question that I had kind of following the end of that was, does he still require kind of that little break time from whenever you get back from a date before you can like express intimacy with him, or has that evolved past that?
I think it has evolved past that. I don't think I've tried like having sex after I come back from a date, maybe because this is like still in the back of my mind, or maybe because, you know, it just hasn't, the opportunity hasn't come up. But we definitely are intimate when I come back from dates. Like, we cuddle and we kiss, and yeah, it's definitely changed. It just, again, he was very conscious of the time he needed to adjust to certain things. And at point I have pushed a little bit faster than what he wished I pushed. And at other points, you know, there's been periods in which I have not been seeing anyone for a long time for whatever reason. So yeah, it's just been an adjustment, but I would say after about like maybe 2 years and a half of our relationship, so about a year and a half ago, I feel like we finally reached that point in which like, okay, I have what I want, which is being able to date freely. Because when he was putting like certain restrictions on me, it's not like I didn't appreciate that he was still trying, but you know, one thing is to be able to go to a play party, and another totally different thing is to be able to date and establish a relationship with that person. So I felt like very unfulfilled at some points when we weren't in that stage of their relationship. And, you know, even recently there was someone that I was seeing, and I started seeing him like twice a week, and he... my partner expressed that it had been like a little bit too much too fast. But then it was just like a conversation, and I was like, okay, sorry, it's been, you know, too much for you. And I'm going to bring it back to once a week until we like get used to this stage. And maybe, you know, and maybe at some point it can become twice a week. We don't know that, but we just need to like readjust depending on how you feel, how I feel. But you know, at this point, I feel like a date once a week is like all I ever wanted, basically. And you know, anything beyond that, you know, we can see as we go, but it took some time to get to this point.
So I have a question. This has been a debate between my ex / same person, best friend, soulmate. He's actually the reason that I discovered polyamory and now like absolutely love the lifestyle. I don't know. I hate calling it a lifestyle. Love living my life this way. I'll put it that way. But the tables turned in our relationship and he realized he didn't want to be poly. So he and his partner were monogamous, but his partner wanted to open things up, not to be poly, but just to be open. And Nick had a lot of issues adjusting to that, mainly because I think there were just some feelings in their relationship where he maybe didn't feel fully trusting or feel fully secure in being able to open it up. And sorry, this is turning into a really long story. I meant for it to be super short.
That's fine. No, please go for okay. It. I love it. I love for this to be a conversation. I just want to make sure I'm understanding. Nick okay. is your ex, right?
Nick is my ex. Yes.
Okay.
So he and his partner were talking about opening things up. And his partner was much more ready to open up because he had needs that he needed to fulfill. And at one point, Nick just gets a text on his phone that he's like, hey, I'm going to hook up. And Nick was like, we were talking about doing it. We weren't saying we could do it yet, you know. And when Nick and I had a conversation about that, because Nick was trying to like wrap his head around it, not freak out, like, you know, calm down. And there was this debate between he and I around at what point, oh God, I'm having a hard time articulating it. There's a fine line between autonomy and compromise, I guess, is the best way to say it. So Nick felt guilty that he hadn't already given his partner permission to go because his belief in autonomy is that you're in control of your own body. So he felt like he shouldn't have to give him permission. But emotionally, he also felt like he didn't want his partner to play without his permission. How do you feel being in a situation where you're having to make compromises about what it is that you want to feel fulfilled in order to protect your partner's emotions and maintain confidence and trust in your relationship? What's your feelings on that?
Well, I mean, for me, that's what being in a relationship is about. And, you know, there's people who consider themselves solo poly, even though they have relationships, and people who put autonomy first and make it clear to all their partners that they don't have they don't have the right to dictate how they act, and that they're like free-spirited people who will do as they please, and there's no attachment and no commitment. Sure. Yeah, and you know, I respect that. I just think that if you are in a partnership where you want to stay for a long time and the other person doesn't have the same philosophy, then it really is always about compromise. It you will get some of what you want, and you will have to give up some of the things that that you want as well. And I think that more generally, a comment about what your ex went through, you know, I understand his view on autonomy because I feel the same way. But there's also other things like communication and how secure you feel in a relationship. And something that I've realized is that, you know, for example, the steps that Seth came up with weren't just, you know, because we have to start slow and then increase and we cannot do everything at once. Like it's simply because he needed to feel safe in the relationship. So, you know, like committing to giving me all of the autonomy from the beginning would have put our relationship in risk because, you know, he didn't feel safe yet. And then I would have gone out and like had sex with other people, and then he would have felt unsafe in the relationship. That would have probably had repercussions. You know, and the way that we did it, he had a few times of me going away, coming back for him to be like, okay, she's actually going to come back. You know what I mean? Like now I feel safe enough. We've been together for 1 year, 2 years at this point. Now we live together. Like whatever those things to feel confident are, like there's nothing wrong with wanting to have those things before being able to give your partner autonomy. And on the other side, as the partner who wants to open up, you also have to be patient, which is something that, you know, in general in life, I'm not the greatest at. And I definitely had to learn to be patient in this process. But it was so worth it because if I had like, you know, breached my partner's trust and gone and cheated on him or whatever, like I could have basically fucked up the relationship. And now I get to do it. I get to go and have sex with other people. But, you know, even though it took longer and it was harder and it required me to sacrifice some things that I wanted at some point, now I get to have my cake and eat it too, you know, without feeling guilty, you know, without all the complications that come when you don't have that base and then you venture out. And I mean, again, this is, and I like to always say, like, everyone works differently. Some couples like have been open from the beginning and that works for them. You know, some couples met while having other partners, but I assume that Nick in this case could have felt confident to give his partner that permission. But what made him feel unsafe and what made him feel that he didn't want to give those permissions is that he doesn't yet feel comfortable in their relationship. And his partner, you know, kind of in a way, not respecting or not communicating on their agreements and just like putting his autonomy first is just going to make Nick feel more unsafe and more insecure.